In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. He has done all things well. We gather on this Saturday where there's no feast of a saint and no major feast day going on. And whenever that happens, the general Saturday is a general memorial for the reposed and also a commemoration of the martyrs who have gone before us. And the Lord, who has created everything and who is risen from the dead, promises that all who have gone before us and all of us will be healed and united with him and one another. Glory to God, who gives us this wonderful gift that we could not have imagined. And today's healing, and I've said this all the time, that healing, the healings in the gospel are not just for the select few, but they are hints at the healing that comes to every human being, that resurrection is coming to every human being. This is from the mouth of the Lord, who says, a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth to the resurrection. So healing is coming to everybody, and these select few, even these people who were healed, eventually died later, but this healing that Christ shows is that he's the creator and that he has power over this creation, and he also has power over death. So, what a bizarre healing that we heard about today, where the Lord sticks his fingers into the ears of the deaf man and also spits and touches the tongue of this man who had barely the ability to speak. Why this effort? This same Lord has, by a word, healed people. Lazarus, come out. He didn't go and touch. He didn't do anything except say, Lazarus, come out. He comes out of the tomb. He heals that way. He heals remotely. The centurion who said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but if you say something here, he'll be healed over there. And that's what happened. So why the spitting and the touching? And this isn't the only time that Christ spits as part of his healing work. He also does this for the man who was born blind. And the teaching about this man who was born blind in the Gospel of John that we'll hear in a few weeks with great joy, this gospel, this healing is taught in the life of the church, is that God is fashioning eyeballs for the man who was born without these organs. And so he spits into the earth, and just the way he fashioned the human being out of the earth, he's fashioning eyeballs for this man who was born without eyes, with the spittle. So let's see what John Chrysostom says about that. Because St. John Chrysostom also asks those questions. When something doesn't seem usual, like my question, why couldn't he just have said something and have done this healing if he had done it that way before? Well, St. John Chrysostom asks, and why did he not, this is about the blind man, the man born blind. He says, why did he not use water instead of spittle for the clay? He was about to send the man to Siloam, the pool with water in it, in order that nothing might be ascribed to the fountain, but that you might learn that the power proceeds from his mouth, the same formed and opened the man's eyes. So this is a work of creation. He formed and opened the man's eyes, and that beautiful word that we heard in the gospel just now, open, he opened the man's eyes, he spat on the ground. This at least the evangelist signified when he said, and made clay of the spittle, then that the successful issue might not seem to be of the earth, he bade him wash. And then today's gospel reading, a similar question, why? Why spit? And Saint Theophylact writes about this one. He says, he spat and touched the man's tongue, showing that every part of his holy flesh was divine and holy, so that even his spittle loosed the bonds of the tongue. Although spittle seems worthless, with the Lord, all things are marvelous and divine. That's awesome. That the works of God, it doesn't answer the question why sometimes he does it this way, why sometimes he does it this way, but that's really God's business. Why did he create? He created because he loves. And it's an overflowing of love. And God interacts with creation in various sanctifying ways. And that every kind of touch he does, he shows to us that's a great blessing, and that power belongs to God. That power belongs to God. And before every gospel reading in the Divine Liturgy, and you see that the priest or the deacon is sensing the gospel, this is a prayer that happens before the gospel reading. It says, shine within our hearts the pure light of your divine knowledge and open the eyes of our heart. Again, open the eyes of our heart that we have understanding of your gospel teachings. I think that's an even harder opening to do than the ears of a deaf person and the eyes of somebody who was born without eyes, because it's harder for us to voluntarily open, to allow God to open our hearts to receive this message. The ears may receive, you know, neurological messages, it may send them to the brain, but the kind of hearing that allows us to understand God in our life, that's a kind of opening that we really need to pray for every day, because, like I said, we may have the organs working perfectly, but do they receive God? And this is why when Christ sighs, the beautiful word, be opened, it's what we would like him to say for each one of us, so that we can receive this, we can receive his words of life, his instructions of life, and the beauty of God. Because, and we also saw that with the blind man who was healed, the one who had been born without sight, without eyes, really, in his heart, before he could see Christ with his eyeballs, he was seeing better than the people in the temple who took issue with Christ's healing and doing something that only God can do. So this miracle does keep happening in the spiritual way too, and that God shows us that by his various types of healing, he is constantly working in various ways and through different means to reach us. And this sign that all of the people, in their amazement, that even when Christ, in his humility, said not to go and broadcast this, which we are doing now too, right? But he says not to go and say this because of that's something else that Saint Theophylact said. He says, when he had healed, the Lord is proclaimed by those who had been healed, though he himself had commanded them to say nothing. We learn from this that we do good to others. When we do good to others, we ought not to ask for applause and acclaim. But when we ourselves have received some good, from the hand of another, then we ought to tell it and proclaim those who have done good. So it's a good sign of the tension that Christ said that he's not doing this for applause. He's doing it out of his compassion, but those who receive this great miracle are going to go and tell it to those about what they have received. So may God protect us, and may our God, who, as the beautiful psalm says, heals all your diseases, may he give us a good patience for the day of the resurrection, when all of us will receive eternal life. And as we heard in the beautiful epistle, we don't want to be bogged down not being preparing for that beautiful day, but to be allowing God to open the ears and the eyes of our heart to be able to glorify him and thank him for the life and the blessings that are to come, and the fact that we can love and pray now in whatever stage we are. May we glorify Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.